What's up, everybody? It is episode 193 of TLDR Podcast. I am back. So I'm back, but someone else is gone now. So first it was Tyler. He was out I guess the week before. I was out last week, and unfortunately Alex is out this week. Right now I think we're just in a big period of a lot of work going on, a lot of stuff in our lives going on. Your guy that's always here though is James. So James, thank you for being a model citizen of this podcast, a epitome of being on time and also being here. You're like the 1,000, you know, game guy, even though we're not 1,000 games, but you're the guy that's always showing up to work, and I appreciate that. How are you doing after baseball season's a weekend?
I love that little intro you gave for me, but I have to say, I did miss one because I went to the hospital that one time. It was like maybe 5 episodes ago. I don't remember. I missed when I went to the hospital because, I wasn't feeling great. But baseball season is great. I love baseball. It's on all the time at my house or at work just because I think I'm turning to Tyler. As much as I dislike Tyler and as much as I disagree with Tyler, we can agree to love baseball together.
Hell yeah.
And the Angels tied for first place in the AL West. So you got to love that.
Yeah. What do they say, Tyler? It's hard not to be romantic about baseball or some shit.
Absolutely. One of the best baseball movies of all time. One of the best quotes of that movie.
How have you liked, Tyler? That brings me to you. How have you liked the first week of baseball season? The Angels are in a playoff spot, first in the AL West. Get the fuck out of the way. Angels are coming.
Love it. I mean, this is the time of year to be the most optimistic. So if you're off to a hot start, like, just enjoy it. Enjoy the hot start, Angels fans. Maybe it'll bleed into something. There are some people out there that say Angels are a dark horse wildcard team. We'll see what happens. Crazier things have happened. I mean, the freaking Marlins made the playoffs last year. So if they can do it, the Angels can do it. The Angels still have Mike Trout, and he's off to an amazing start. That Nuki hit in Miami the other night was incredible.
That was incredible. Really was incredible. And speaking of which, I do want to throw my wife under the bus a little bit because I did say that the Angels swept the series. And she's like, I know, I saw that. And she's like, oh, but against a pretty bad team. I'm like, bud, the Miami Marlins were in the fucking playoffs last year. What are you talking about? So I guess people still think the Marlins are shitty, but they're not that shitty. Okay. They're like, they're a good team.
They haven't won a game yet, but
they haven't won a game yet, but hey, maybe this is like maybe this is just unraveling of last year, but we'll get into that. First, I want to get into this day in history because I don't have a special 193. Like, 193 is such a stupid number. No offense, but it's just dumb. Like, it just is. This day in history, so April 3rd, 1923, two Black Sox sue White Sox unsuccessfully for back salary. There's that baseball tidbit for you. The 1930 Stanley Cup final was in the Montreal Forum in Montreal. The Canadiens beat the Boston Bruins 4-3 for a 2-0 series sweep for their third championship. So, that was third of many, many championships that the team has had. The 1954 Baltimore Orioles pulled their first triple play out, a 3-6-2 versus the Kansas City Athletics. I don't know what that means, but I'm sure that Tyler understands what that means.
I do.
I'm sure that James probably knows what that means.
A 3-6-2, James, do you know what a 3-6-2 means?
Yeah, that's player positions, bro.
So 3 is what?
It is first base.
Nice. 6 is what?
Short.
Yep. And 2 is what?
Catcher.
Nice.
Bro, come on.
See, that a boy. See,
man, thank God that I have you guys on the podcast. I'm assuming one's the pitcher, but I don't know.
It is. Yep.
Correct.
Oh, well, that's the most important player on the ball field anyway. So
why is number one?
That's why he's number one. And then 1966, Tom Seaver signs with the Mets for a reported whopping $50,000 bonus. Woof. Big dollars back in 1966. Honestly, that is a lot of money. We are actually going to get right into it with continuing the baseball talk. Tyler, take us away with the first week of baseball.
Yes, opening day has come and gone. We are officially into the first full week of the MLB season, and there's already some stuff going down. We have suspensions. We got people throwing each other. We got people jawing each other. And that's what we're going to lead off with. Over the weekend, there was a little bit of drama going on with the Brewers and Mets series. And you're thinking, like, Brewers and Mets, what kind of history do they have? Not a whole lot, but a new player on the Brewers, Rhys Hoskins, formerly of the Philadelphia Phillies. This is his first year in Milwaukee. And he's had some history with the Mets in the past. A lot of, you know, just things that the Mets have been agreed with. But what happened on Friday's game is that Rhys Hoskins slid hard into second base and into their second baseman, into the Mets second baseman, Jeff McNeil, which started an altercation. Jeff McNeil immediately was yelling at him, saying that was a dirty slide, blah, blah, blah. Both players were drawn back and forth. The bench is clear to be, everyone was kind of yelling and screaming. And, you know, there is a rule, obviously. Basically, the runner has to be within contact of the bag. If he goes out of the way of the bag, it's deemed ineligible slide, which it wasn't. They reviewed it, and it was technically, by the rules, a legitimate legal slide. Just slid very hard into McNeil's lower body, which you kind of saw his knee buckle a bit. So you can understand why McNeil was a little bit upset about it. But technically, Rhys Hoskins was within the rule that it was played. Fast forward to Saturday. This is when the retaliation happened. First of all, Hoskins comes out firing. He hits a home run. He has four RBIs in the game. Later in the game, he gets a ball thrown behind him by Mets reliever Johan Ramirez. Ramirez was ejected, and he's been suspended 3 games. Looked pretty intentional, even though they claimed it wasn't. I mean, it probably was intentional. Either way, the Brewers ended up sweeping the series. The Mets dropped every game of the series. The Brewers are still undefeated. I don't know if they won early or not. The Mets are still, they still have not won a game yet. They entered today 0-4. So that's kind of where both teams are starting off. But first question, Oz James's question, kind of first of all, on the slide, do you think that was a dirty slide or no? And two, just kind of the thoughts on kind of where these teams and players stand after this.
Was that a dirty slide? No. What you're trying to do is disrupt the double play. That's exactly what you did. If you're going to slide hard, disrupt the double play. He's within the rules. Yes, but I can't see where McNeil is coming from, because that could be an injury-prone play, just like a tackle could be an injury-prone play. But guess what? We do it anyway. It's part of the rules. You're allowed to do it. Might as well do your best to make sure your team is still in it and still up and batting when you're going to be out, obviously. As opposed to the retaliation aspect of it, if you're going to throw at him the first time he's up, not the second. Like, if you threw him the first time, you might not have given up a four-run bomb or a four RBI, like a bomb on that play. Like, that's... why did you wait so long to do it? Put it in opener like the Angels did a couple of years ago with the Mariners. Do that. That sends a bigger message than throwing at him later on in the game. As far as the players stand, like, I kind of like Rhys Hoskins. I was really sad when he tore his ACL last year with the Phillies. That was a big bummer. But as a player, I do like him. He fights, he plays hard, and he still does what he does. I mean, Jeff McNeil says we have an entire tape of him, or an entire room full of tapes of him sliding hard. And guess what? You probably do. And guess what? It's legal. And it just disrupts the double play. So I'm all for it.
I like that take. Trade, and you look like you disagreed a little bit on what James was saying, but what are your thoughts on the whole deal?
I mean, it's late. It's a little late on the slide. I mean, look, you can walk the line, and I love that. I absolutely love this whole situation. And the reason I love this situation is because it has theater, and the most important word in sports that we no longer have in a lot of sports is hate. Find hate in sports, bring it back, baby. And this is the kind of stuff that I'm talking about. Look, Rhys Hoskins definitely was, he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. I mean, there definitely was some there. I think James, I think you're right. There was intention to what he was trying to do. It was late, and it definitely touched the line. I think we can all agree that it definitely touched a certain line that, you know, some would not like to be crossed, but, you know, I think that baseball and a lot of sports are better off when they have a villain like this. The best part was the crybaby thing that he did to like guys, this is the type of immature bullshit that we fucking need in this sport. Like, it just makes you laugh. And the fact that it was the first game of the season is just, It's well done, MLB. Well, fucking, if this is the script, you're already off to a great fucking start. Because if we just need to perpetuate hate, and I know that I hate, like, look, we're in a weird spot, you know, socially, you know, but when it comes to sports, perpetuate hate. That's good. We love that. We love when players hate each other, because that's, you're supposed to. That's what sports is. And at the end of the day, he's crying about it, whatever. I look, if it wasn't for for Race Hoskins, knowing what he's doing, we wouldn't have a great conversation we're having now, and it would still wouldn't be talked about a week later. I loved it. I fucking loved it, dude.
Yeah, Traden, I feel like when you were watching all that, you were like Emperor Palpatine, just being like, good, let the meat flow 100%. Through you. Like, just absolutely just loving every 100%. Bit of it. Just more.
The only thing is, though, guys, and this is why, this is a very good reason why I think hockey does a good job of letting the players police themselves. This ends in a fight between the two guys. And then it's over. Like, they get it out of the way. They might fight the next game, whatever. Like, that's what I want. I would like to see a little bit of nunchuck, because I think if, you know, let's say Reese Hoskins, you know, gets his clock cleaned, he'll think twice about doing it again. That's policing the game, letting the players kind of do it. But at the end of the day, love the theater. Bring it on, baby.
Absolutely. I mean, I think obviously getting something like this to start the MLB season with the first couple of games already is awesome. I agree. I mean, I think Reese Hoskins came out of this looking like a total badass and looking like kind of the, maybe not the hero, but kind of like he definitely won this battle. Like, no doubt. It was a good, you know, you can, like you said, trade on, maybe a little bit late, but technically it was within the rules. It was a good hard slide, which you don't really see much of anymore. That was a common thing. Every single play at second base, guys were sliding the second baseman every single time. Obviously there's, I think it's good to keep those rules within balance, you know, so we're not, you know, tearing guys ACL at every single slide, but, you know, a good hard play. I loved his reaction. The crybaby thing was awesome. And then coming out the next day and then putting up four RBIs and including a 2-run tank, fucking love it. And on top of that, the Brewers, like I said, are undefeated to start the season. The Mets, James, did they lose today?
Lost the Twins today.
All right. Well, they were 4-0 going into today. They swept that series, which was awesome. And I mean, ultimately, like punch for punch, the Brewers won that series. And that was great. And the Mets kind of came looking like a little bit of a crybabies there. So, which is not a really good start for the Mets considering the terrible season they had last year. So, we'll see how this plays out. Obviously they will play each other one more time in Milwaukee later in the season. So obviously eyes will be tuned into that series for sure, but yeah, a little bit of drama already to start off the MLB season. So that's always fun to watch. Let's move on real quick. This is kind of more of a kind of outlook of the season. So it's opening day. We're already going to look forward to the postseason. You know, we obviously did our division previews and anything, but we never really picked division teams. We're not going to go through the full playoff picture, but just a little, you know, kind of fun challenge here. I asked the boys to pick a team that made the postseason in 2023 that will not in 2024. And then the opposite, a team that did not make it last year that will make the playoffs come October in 2024. So we'll start with the first one, a team that did make it that will not, a team that's going to regress. Of all 30 MLB teams, Traden, who do you got?
This one's tough because, you know, there are a lot of good teams. And I think a lot of the teams that we talked about kind of got better in some respects, or at least didn't get worse. I think I'm going to go to the team that got swept recently by the Angels. The Miami Marlins, I think that we've talked about them last season, that, you know, it's kind of a miracle that they stuck around as long as they did. I mean, when you look at their expected win-loss ratio, they should have been way out of the race. And that's type of stuff tends to balance itself out. And I don't think the Miami Marlins did enough to be to keep their 84-78, you know, win-loss record, whereas they should have been more like 75-87. Like that's a big push in the other direction, and I just don't think they did enough to fix, you know, to address that. So I just think that things are going to start things are going to balance out. Usually it happens within a season, but sometimes it happens a season over season, and the Miami Marlins seem very much like the Seattle Kraken of this year.
No doubt. I mean, they're off to a terrible start, haven't won a game yet. James, what's your pick for a team that did make it last year that will not in 24?
I mean, the Marlins was my go-to pick there because, let's be honest, they played way luckily last season, and this season they're just not that good. And when we did their preview on them, they lost their good players and they didn't do enough to gain any good players, so they're going to be trash. But my other pick is going to be the Brewers, the Milwaukee Brewers we just talked about. The NL Central is just, for me, it's just too congested. There's too many good teams there that have a better shot of winning that division, and it's not them. losing Corbin Burns is going to be tough. Like, Freddy Peralta is going to be their one guy there, and that's it. So you're going to win one in every five games from this point going forward. I get they're off to a hot start. You beat the Mets, cool. You took one off the Twins, cool. But it's too hard of a division, and Christian Yelich is off to a great start, but given his track record of the last couple of years, it's going to regress to the mean, and he's not going to be hitting 300-plus and going off these two homers. Like, it's just not going to happen. He had an MVP season a couple of years ago, but since then he's been eh. And I think he's just going to go back to what he used to be.
Yeah, I think the Brewers are another good pick as well. I think, like I said, I think they've lost a lot of talent and a lot of things there, and that division is only getting better. I think that's a pretty solid pick. I think both the Brewers and the Marlins are the smart picks there. I'm going to go with another team, just throw it out there, the Tampa Bay Rays. Even though they're a team that it's really hard to count them out, I just kind of look at the American League playoff picture. I think the AL Central is a little bit better. I think the AL West is going to be a little bit better this year. So I think that, you know, last year the AL East was such a dominant division that, you know, it was really just, you know, what team's not going to make it from that division, right? This year, I just kind of see that balancing out a little bit. I think the Yankees are going to be a lot better. I think the Blue Jays are going to be there. And like I said, I think the West and the Central are both just overall better divisions, and that just leaves fewer playoff spots. I definitely don't think that they're going to be contending for the division. I think they're the third best team in that division, maybe. So I just think they're going to be slightly on the outside looking in. I know it's a little bit of a hot take, but that's just one that I see that I think I'm going to call that the Rays will not make the playoffs in 24. So let's flip it over to the other side, a little bit more of a positive, a team that did not make it last year that will at the end of this season. James, I'll start with you.
My pick is from the NL Central that I just talked about. That was very congested, that anybody could really win, but it's the Cincinnati Reds. I love all that young talent they have on their team. And right now the Pittsburgh Pirates are number one in the division after six games because they're 5-1. But I think they have a case of the Colorado Rockies where they get off to a hot start and run out of gas. Like Tyler mentioned in his preview article for this division, they started off strong last year. They didn't do so well at the end of the year. That's going to happen again this year. They're just not built enough to succeed in the long run. But the young talent of the Cincinnati Reds, I think, will propel them forward. They're not doing great right now, the young talent, I'm saying. But like as the year goes on, as young talent develops going forward, this team will get its footing back and will just have a very explosive offense, even though Matt McClain is out.
Yeah, that NL Central is very intriguing. I think we mentioned it during our previews. You can make a case for like four of those teams winning that division. So Reds are right there in it. Trayden, how about you?
For my pick, it's most certainly the Oakland Athletics. No, I'm kidding. no, for me, guys, it's the New York Yankees. The New York Yankees are looking quite good with one Soto in the mix here, guys. It was his weekend. It's been his week. And look, they're banged up. They're not in a great situation right here. They did not do too great in the offseason. But if this team gets galvanized because of the play of like players like Juan Soto, it might spark something within that club. And you could see the Yankees getting back to what they expect. I think that the Yankees, you know, have kind of run into a situation where there's a lot expected of you and they really failed last year. And I think given that they kind of failed in the offseason, I don't think there's very much expectations of them, or it's kind of expected that they're going to be maybe looking on the outside, looking in. And I think a player like Juan Soto might be enough to get them through, get the bodies back. And all of a sudden when you get your ace back and a lot of things start to click, this Yankees team is going to be back in the mix. And I know you guys talked about the AL East earlier, Tampa Bay maybe not making it. I don't think Toronto's making it. I think Toronto's a hapless team. I hate to say it. I think Toronto's in big, deep shit. I actually could have picked them for the earlier one. But I like where the Yankees are going so far. They're 6-1. Juan Soto looks great. And if the bodies come back and things start clicking, the Yankees might be back.
Yeah, no doubt. I think the Yankees are built like a playoff team. And last year, again, was kind of a weird year for them where things didn't quite go their way. Adding Juan Soto just galvanizes that lineup. It makes them a legitimate playoff lineup. So like I said, if they can stay healthy, hopefully Gerrit Cole comes back, you know, in a couple months here, and we'll add to that rotation. The pitching worries me still a little bit, but certainly if they can get that figured out. This is a team that should be back in the postseason in 24 if things go right for them. The team I'm going to go with here is the Seattle Mariners. 2 years ago, made the playoffs. They snapped their 20 plus year drought. Last year, they just missed out. They had a late, you know, kind of hot streak in the last few weeks of the season. They almost made a comeback, but they fell quite a little bit short. I feel like that team that we saw the last, you know, 4 to 5 weeks of last season is the team that we're going to get here in 2024. I love this rotation. They have a great pitching rotation. And for me, like, that's just something that you can, as long as they stay healthy, that's going to consistently get you wins. Obviously, the offense is still concerned behind Julio Rodriguez, like how they're going to produce it. Maybe they'll add at the deadline, but I like where this team is headed. And, you know, obviously it's really early, but the Astros look like dog shit to start the year. So that opens another door. And like I said, I just think that the AL wild card is going to be super competitive. There's a lot of teams in the mix for those spots. So I think the Mariners are going to be right there. I still like the Rangers for me as the pick to win that division, but I think the Mariners could certainly be in the hunt for a wildcard spot. So I'm going to pick them to find their way back in the postseason after a 1 year hiatus. They're not going to go 20 plus years again. So real quick, we're going to wrap it up with our series picks of the week. This is our first one of 2024. So we got three series to choose from, starting off with the American League Championship Series rematch, AKA the Battle of the Lone Star State, Astros and Rangers. Rangers are the home team. James, what do you got?
I got the Rangers on this one. The Astros, like you said, look like dog shit. So it's going to take them a little bit. They might make one of those games, but not all of them.
All right, trading.
I have Houston here.
Okay. I asked Alex for his picks and he legitimately told me the opposite of Trayden's picks. So since you picked Houston, Alex is going to go with the Rangers. So I'm also going to go Rangers here just because, yeah, the Astros have gotten off to a terrible start. So I'm just going to go with the Rangers there. Moving on to the second series, the Orioles at the Pirates. Pirates off to a really hot start. Orioles obviously expect to do big things in 24. James, what do you got?
I got the Orioles. They looked really good against the Angels, and the Pirates are going to come crashing down to earth real fast.
Trayden.
Yeah, I like the Orioles here too. Although I do have a bone to pick with Alex. I mean, I know that I suck at these things, but you didn't have to do that, bro. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, you'll kind of have to talk that out next week. So obviously, Alex gets the Pirates for this series, and I'm going to go with the Orioles as well. I just think they're the better team here, and yeah, it'll be interesting to see with the Pirates' hot start. But I'm going to go Baltimore. Last one, the Diamondbacks at Atlanta Braves. A little bit of a good National League contender matchup here. James, what do you got?
I got the Braves in this one. I think they're just going to keep mashing their offense away. The D-backs look good against the Yankees, but the Braves are just a better team than the D-backs right now.
Trayden.
I like the D-backs here. Don't have a reason why. Just do.
That's fine. So Alex is going to go with the Braves, and I'm also going to go with the D-backs, Trayden. I think they, you know, add a late with that Jordan Montgomery pick. I think it was great. I think they've looked really, really good to start off the year so far. Obviously, the Braves are a tough task, and they're going to be right there, but I think it's going to be a really fun series to watch. I'm gonna definitely tune into this one. But yeah, so I'm going to go D-backs for this one. So we'll obviously wrap around next week, see how we all did. But that's what I got for MLB, the first MLB Oh Damn segment of 2024. Play ball, baby.
Play ball, baby. Thank you very much, Tyler. Looking forward to, you know, more baseball. James and I, Tyler, I don't know if you're going to be able to make, if you're making it, but we are at, Angel Stadium tomorrow for home opener. So if you are in the area and you are a fan, come see us. We will be in the tailgate section as well as in the game, watching it. So, we're very excited for baseball here. So, tune in. So, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to go through a little hockey segment just to kind of break the ice before we get into the important football draft that is coming up when we come back. Welcome back, everybody. We have some hockey talk while Alex is out. I'm not going to go into our Western, rankings. that's been like a long time coming. So hopefully we can finish that next week. I'm finishing it next week, regardless if James ends up being sick again. So, and he's out, because it technically would be his turn. But we'll see. First off, I do want to talk about the in-season cup. James, congratulations. You have clinched the in-season cup in terms of days. You don't necessarily end up with it. You don't know that, but you will, you did clinch the most days, because Carolina and Boston play tomorrow. You have both of those guys, and you have currently a 13-point, it's a little bit more, but either way, you're well ahead of anybody. So, you're in good shape. You've clinched. So, right now we have the Oilers, Avalanche, the San Jose Sharks, the Arizona Coyotes, the Calgary Flames, and the, who is this? The Devils, the New Jersey Devils have been eliminated from contention for the in-season cup. So, sorry if you own those teams, which I own three of those teams and James owns none. So, James did a great job this year.
Looking good,
I have to say. I just wanted to have a quick conversation about the NHL coming down to the last couple weeks here. And how, like, I really want to ask you guys, what matchups intrigue you the most? Like, what matchups are you kind of hoping for in the last 2 weeks? There's a lot of jockeying for positions here. Things have gotten quite interesting. I'm just going to quickly give you guys a rundown of where the East is right now. We have Boston, Florida. Boston's in first in the Atlantic. Boston, Florida, Toronto. And in the Metro, we have the Rangers, Carolina, and the Flyers hanging on to dear life, with Tampa and Washington in those wildcard spots. Though Detroit is tied with Washington for their wildcard spot. New York is at 81. And if you can believe it, the Pittsburgh Penguins are just 3 points out. I don't know who wants to lose more than these teams going for the wild card. And we've talked about expanding the playoffs in the NHL. And I just don't know if this is the year we should be discussing it, because I don't know that anybody in the second wildcard spot deserves to be there. I'm just going to say that right now. In the West, we have Dallas, Colorado, and Winnipeg. In the Central, Winnipeg's really been struggling lately. In the Pacific, we have Vancouver, Edmonton, and Vegas. Edmonton is 5 points out of the top spot in the Pacific, with two games at hand on Vancouver, and they do have a game against Vancouver in a couple weeks towards the end of the season. If you had told me that the Edmonton Oilers would have a chance at the tops of the Pacific after that start through November, I would have told you you're a fucking liar. In the wildcard spot, we have Nashville and the LA Kings, who have gone on a pretty bad skid, Tyler. I know that you have a game in hand on St. Louis, but they are only 3 points behind, and the Oilers have gave you no favors by losing the other night. So I'm going to start with you, Tyler. Is there a matchup that really kind of intrigues you? Or are you hoping that you kind of see, or, you know, the matchups that we have now, are you, you know, content with?
I mean, are the Rangers and Devils playing again this year? Because after that freaking melee of start, that's something to tune in for. But no, I do think that, you know, obviously, you know, looking at the Kings, you know, I thought they were sitting pretty there in third place. I wasn't too worried about it. You know, obviously they've dropped off to the second wild card. It makes you a little bit nervous, you know, being three games up. You know, we do have a game in hand with St. Louis, so I'm a little bit nervous about it, but I think they'll get it done. But it's definitely not comfortable. I'm not sitting here sipping on a martini, just waiting for the playoffs to start. I'm still very nervous and just waiting for them to clinch that spot. So pretty much every Kings game I'm going to be tuned in for. It doesn't really matter who they're playing, because I want them to get as many points as they possibly can down the stretch here. But yeah, no, I think that that second wild card in the East is fascinating. I've been talking to one of the players on our LMU's team is a big Caps fan, and he just comes up to me just every day. He's like, "Dude, Caps are in third," or "Dude, Caps are in a playoff spot." And I'm like, he was like really, really nervous about it. And I was like, "Dude, there's nothing you can do about it. Just let it play out and see what happens." But the fact that you're even in it is awesome, because like 2 weeks ago, we were like, who gives a shit about the Capitals? And here they are, along with, like you said, the Islanders are there and the fucking Pittsburgh Penguins back from the dead. Detroit has just failed to kind of really secure that spot, which a lot of us had us, you know, had them pretty much locked in there. So anything with those Eastern wildcard teams are going to be fascinating to watch, because I think that's going to come down to like the last game of the season. Like it's that tight.
Could. It very well could. And it's interesting, because right now, New York is destined to play the second wildcard team. So they're kind of locked in there. And I guess you could see Carolina sneak in. I just think that there's too many points to be caught up there with only one game in hand. But Boston and Florida are very close, jockeying for position. Right now, Boston has a 4-point swing with no games at hand on Florida, but you never know with the way that these two teams have been kind of ebbing and flowing lately. But the prize for first in the Atlantic is most likely playing Tampa Bay. So I'm going to ask you guys really quick, are you trying to lose and get second so you can play Toronto, or do you try and win and you're gifted with Tampa Bay, who's looking scary good? James, any thoughts?
Yeah, see, I wrestled with that one because one of the matchups I really wanted to watch was the Bruins versus the Lightning, because I really wanted to see like the Bruins have really good regular season success typically, and the Lightning have really good postseason success typically. So I wanted to see them battle it out and see which success ends up being like the one that comes out on top, because their play styles are relatively similar. I want to see how that happens there. And it's like, will the Bruins carry that regular season success and use the momentum to win out that playoff series? Or with the Lightning recapture that magic that they normally recapture every single postseason to beat the Bruins? So that's a very interesting one. And I'd love to see that. So I hope the Bruins keep that number one spot.
I love that. Also, but you're giving up a Florida Tampa and then a Boston Toronto matchup. So yeah, but Boston Tampa would be a very, very interesting and brutal series for those two teams. Tyler, just really quick, if you're Boston, are you starting to lose now and let Florida back in?
No, because I think that's the pussy way out, man. You just got to fucking win as many games as you can. Whoever you're playing, you're like, fuck it, we're going to win it. Obviously, as a fan base, I think you like to look at those matchups, and there's teams that scare you. Tampa Bay is definitely one of those teams that should scare you, just because of, you know, no matter what position they're in, as James mentioned, their postseason, you know, they're extremely good in postseason. So that's kind of how I was feeling as a fan of the Kings. Like, you know, it was kind of seemed like we're gonna get another Kings Oilers rematch there at 2-3. So part of me is a little bit happy that we dipped down, in the sense that we won't have to play the Oilers in the first round. That's how happened, because for the longest time I was just hoping that Edmonton would catch Vancouver, so that we wouldn't have to play you guys first round, because I'm over losing to you guys in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, I honestly was scared to play you guys too. I mean, just the law.
You say that every year, and then you always beat us. So
the law of averages does not work well when it comes to these three years in a row. But James, I want you to give you the floor with no pre-question. What kind of matchups are you kind of hoping for these last couple of weeks? Is anything kind of intrigue you? Something in the Central, something in the West in general? Anything that piques your interest that you would watch kind of intently?
The last three games to the Washington Capitals is what I'm going to be watching intently. I've been kind of in on the Washington Capitals all season long, even though they've been out all season long, because we did their preview and I was assigned to them and I kind of fell in love with them. And so here we are in a playoff spot right now, in a wild card spot. And those last three games that they play are going to be ridiculous games, because they play Tampa Bay, Boston, and Philadelphia. And if they're still in a spot, those games are going to be crazy.
Crazy.
I want to see if they can clutch up and win two or three of those games so that they can keep that wild card spot. Or are they going to take the easy way out, like Tyler just mentioned, and just lose out because they're like, we're not going to make it anyway. We're not going to get past these three great teams, so we're just going to stop and just be done. So I want to see what they do.
Yeah, it's interesting when you look at these final games for this team. So, you know, you mentioned the games that Washington has ahead of them, not the easiest of games coming up. You look at the Islanders, they have tough games. They have, they play the Predators, they play the Rangers twice. The Devils are in there that, you know, you never know. They're kind of being a division rival. And then the Penguins, who are fighting for a spot. But then you look at Philadelphia Flyers and it's like, wow, the Flyers have kind of have the chance to take it away. I mean, they have the Sabres, they have the Blue Jackets, they have the Canadiens, they have the Devils and the Caps at the end, to James's point. They do have the Flyers or the Rangers in there once, but most of their schedule is a lot lighter than the rest. And James, to your point, I really hope to God that the Capitals and Flyers, that game is your wild card matchup. It is your first playoff game of the season, because it could be down to a point where whoever wins that is in the fucking playoffs, depending on how it comes out. So that'll be very interesting. I think it's just absolutely crazy to see how everything's kind of shaken out. The Florida Panthers have really kind of dipped, so it's interesting that we're maybe seeing a Florida Toronto matchup. Carolina is going to play either the Philadelphia Flyers, the New York Islanders or the Washington Capitals. Like, what a prize for being second in that division. Like, oh my goodness. The New York Rangers will have it pretty easy too. So those Metro teams are going to have it quite easy, in my opinion. And that's going to be bode well for them. So I hope you guys enjoy the last couple of weeks. I have one last thing, and that's the draft lottery simulator. We're going to start doing this until the end of the playoffs. It is how we're going to see if we're going to see how things are going to kind of play out right now in reverse order of the standings. We have San Jose as the worst team. Chicago is number two, Anaheim's three, and Columbus is four, with Arizona at five. So when I press the sim lottery, it's going to go round and round and round. Here we go. Anaheim, you're getting Macklin Celebrini, moving up two spots. Columbus is moving up two spots, and the fucking San Jose Sharks fall two, and Chicago falls two, which I think everybody would be happy about. But San Jose moving down two is sad. So especially for how bad they've gone, they've had it this season.
Fuck the Sharks, dude.
They've had a horrible season though. Like it's been like they were supposed to be bad. I think they were told to be bad, but I don't think they expected this bad. But hey, they follow directions almost well. So that's all I have for my segment. We're gonna have one more quick break, and when we come back, we are talking NFL draft. It is coming. It is football is back on the radar when we come back. Welcome back, everybody. No, football is not in season right now. The other three are going crazy. We have the NBA close to playoffs, hockey close to playoffs, and baseball just starting. But NFL is back in on the radar. It's back in the news. We have the draft coming up, James. I don't know the exact date. I do. It takes place from April 25th to April 27th. We are 3 weeks away, I guess. 3 weeks away from the draft. So, James, you're starting to take us through now. Why don't you take us away with our mock draft, TLDR style?
So our mock draft, as usual, we're going to break it up into three different segments based off of draft position. Winner, person who gets the most right, gets $20 from Traden. So that's big because Traden did all of his research. We figured we're going to reward him by having him pay out to everybody else. This segment, we're doing picks 22 to 32, but we're going to start on the back end and work our way up. Number 32, Kansas City Chiefs. Traden, who did all his own research. Who do you got them picking?
Okay. We got some help. Everybody gets some help. And I just took a little too much help. from Georgia, I like Brock Bowers, tight end here. Look, I don't think they really need a tight end, but Travis Kelce is not getting any younger, guys. And you kind of need to start grooming the next guy in line. I don't know how much longer we're going to have of Travis Kelce, but at the end of the day, I just think that maybe it's good to start having insurance policy.
You have Brock Bowers falling a lot on that draft then. Tyler, who do you got the Chiefs picking at 32?
Before we get into this, I want to preface this whole drafting. There's a lot of names I'm going to butcher, so I apologize to these players if I fuck up your name. I'm doing my best here, okay? So with the 32nd pick of the 2024 NFL draft, the Kansas City Chiefs select Adonai Mitchell, wide receiver out of Texas. Obviously, the Chiefs have had their issues there at wide receiver, so I think that's where they're going to go here in the first round.
I really like that pick. I initially had A.D. Mitchell going to the Chiefs at that pick, but then the news broke today about the Bills trading away Stephon Diggs. I had to move some stuff around. But I also have him picking a wide receiver, and that's Troy Franklin out of Oregon. The Chiefs will always go offense first because that's what they do. And this the guy is a vertical receiver the Chiefs haven't had since Tyreek Hill. Travis Kelce is getting older. Rashee Rice is getting in legal trouble. They need somebody there to fill it. Alex picked offensive tackle Kingsley Sumatia out of BYU. And I'm pretty sure he picked all the people who I have a hard time pronouncing because that's what Alex does. Moving on to 31, the San Francisco 49ers. Tyler, who are they picking?
Yeah, I went with Kingsley Sumatia or whatever you pronounce it, that old offensive tackle from BYU. I think this dude's going to be a future O-line machine there in San Francisco. So I think that's where the Niners will go there.
Trade.
I like out of Missouri, I like Darius Robinson, edge rusher. I just think that the versatility is going to really be something that Kyle Shanahan's looking for, especially in a defense that might need a little bit more of it.
Alex went with wide receiver Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina, but I went with Ladd McConkey, wide receiver out of Georgia. He is grading out as the most NFL-ready wide receiver. He does great at separating, something that the Niners need a lot of. And the Brandon Ayuk contract talks might make this a really good pick. At number 30, Baltimore Ravens. Trayton, who you got?
I got offensive tackle out of Arizona, Jordan Morgan. I think that losing Morgan Moses to the Jets is going to allow this team to be a little cheaper, younger, and built for the long haul.
Tyler.
I'm going to go defense here, and they're going to select Braden Fisk, a defensive lineman from Florida State. I just like them going more defensive heavy here. I don't know if it's Fisk or Fisky. So if you want to reach out and tell me which one it is, I'd appreciate it.
This is going to be a great segment because we get to listen to Tyler just mess up names.
Yeah.
It's always fun every year.
Yep. Every single year. I and Alex also has this, have the Ravens picking offensive lineman Graham Barton out of Duke. He played tackle in college, but he'll probably move to guard or center because of his powerful loaded stance. The Ravens could always stand to benefit from loading their offensive line in that very run-first offense and protecting Lamar Jackson. So Graham Barton it is. Number 29, Detroit Lions. Tyler, who you got?
Dude, one of the coolest names in this draft, Kool-Aid McKinstry. He's a cornerback from Alabama. I think this dude's a great fit in Detroit. So we're going to go with Kool-Aid there with the Lions.
That one he did not pronounce incorrectly. Good job. Trade.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing.
Wow. You agreed with the world, Tyler. Good job.
Nice.
I got them picking Jared Verse, edge rusher out of FSU. He is the most powerful edge rusher in this draft, and he's a three-down rusher. He is the fastest edge defender as well. He can complement Aiden Hutchinson really well. Alex has the Lions picking Keon Coleman, wide receiver out of FSU. Number 28, the Buffalo Bills, who just traded away Stephon Diggs. Tyler, who you got?
Yeah, I'm going wide receiver here. They're going to go with Ladd McConkey, with you said earlier, but he's going to get picked here from Georgia. Obviously, they're going to need some wide receiver help with that Stephon Diggs news. So, Ladd McConkey.
Trayton.
I'm going to go with Chop Robinson, edge rusher. No reason. I just feel it. Yeah.
Okay, very cool. I mean, that makes sense because Devon Miller is getting older up in age, so he's not as successful. So you could do some edge help there. With my pick and also Alex's pick, who had the same pick as me, we have A.D. Mitchell going here that Tyler had going to the Chiefs. I mean, they need a wide receiver to fill that Diggs role, and Mitchell's a big wide receiver that can win at the point of contact, which is something they've lacked for a long time. Number 27, Arizona Cardinals. Trayden.
Arizona Cardinals, I think we're going to see, is it Leitu Latu, edge rusher, out of UCLA. He's a top edge rusher. I think that Arizona needs fucking anything to get going. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that. Tyler.
Yeah, Arizona has a lot to do. I think they're going to go O-line here though, and they're going to go with J.C. Latham, offensive tackle from Alabama.
I also agree with you, not with the person, but with the offensive tackle. But I think they go with Amarius Mims out of Georgia. They got to keep Tyler healthy. Mims only has 8 starts, but he has a very high ceiling. Alex at 27 has edge rusher Chop Robinson out of Penn State. Number 26, Tampa Bay Bucks. Tyler.
Tampa Bay Bucks, another defensive pick here. They're going to go Darius Robertson, edge rusher out of Missouri.
Why?
I think Buccaneers is another team that has a lot to add. I think defense is where they're going to go here.
I have the offense. I have actually Adonai Mitchell out of Texas. I think that you can never have too much pieces there, and they're going to need to get even better. And I think that he's going to get picked up here.
At 26 at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I have him picking Cooper DeJean, cornerback out of Iowa, first white cornerback drafted in a very long time. They need some help because Josh Hayes is just bad. And DeJean is a white QB. He doesn't have very many weaknesses, and that's good. Alex has the Bucks picking Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Alabama. 25, Green Bay Packers. Trayden.
I have Tyler Gayton out of Oklahoma. I think that with David, but I can't explain. I can't pronounce his name.
Bakhtiari
leaving the Green Bay Packers. I think that you're going to need to find someone to fill the shoes, and I think that Tyler's your not this Tyler, that Tyler is your best best bet.
Could you imagine Tyler, our Tyler, playing offensive tackle for the Packers?
Oh, man, that'd be amazing.
He calls Uber halfway through on the 50-yard line. Yeah. Like, my hips hurt.
I'd be like, what's going on now?
Tyler, who do you got the Packers picking?
Let's see here. I got Byron Murphy, the second defensive lineman from Texas. I think this dude's a great top interior rusher. I think that's where the Packers are going to go here.
I went with Kool-Aid McKinstry. I picked up higher than you guys did out of Alabama, the cornerback. They have a huge hole, cornerback across from Jair Alexander. And Kool-Aid, let's go with Kool-Aid. He was a rare freshman starter out for Nick Saban, and he's an elite QB with a very high ceiling. And with this pick, Alex went with Cooper DeJean out of Iowa. 24 Dallas Cowboys. Tyler.
I'm going to go Xavier Worthy, wide receiver from Texas. I think they're going to boost the offensive depth there in wide receiver. And I think it'd be cool, like a Texas going to Dallas Cowboys. I think that's a cool story. That's it.
Trading.
Dallas Cowboys are not going to pick here because there's going to be a trade down by the Las Vegas Raiders with Dallas. And Vegas is going to take Michael Penix Jr., to which Darius, my cousin-in-law, says, oh, yeah.
Just like the Kool-Aid man. Okay, 24, the Dallas Cowboys will pick, and they're going to pick a center, Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon. The Cowboys only have one center on the roster right now, and he's a practice squad guy. Powers is the best end in the draft. It just lines up so perfectly, which is why I don't think they'll trade it away. Alex has them picking offensive tackle Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma. 23, Vikings. Tyler.
All right, this is where I have a trade. I think the Vikings are going to trade with the Chargers. So they're going to bump up to number 5. So we're going to get that way later. So just keep that in mind. But the Chargers are going to go here, number 23, and they're going to select Johnny Newton, defensive lineman out of Illinois, a top defensive talent. I think Jim Harbaugh likes that stuff. So he's going to go with trenches here. Johnny Newton.
Trade.
We have another trade. Hey, this is what we're here for, baby. We have Minnesota trading away with Arizona, and Arizona is going to take Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver out of LSU, because they lose out on someone else later.
See if Arizona picking again. Okay.
Yes.
I also have a trade.
Oh, see,
we're all doing it.
But see, I got the Giants in the spot here. I think that the Vikings trade away 11 and 23 to pick a quarterback in the top 5 or top 6, whatever it is. But the Giants at pick 23 will pick Nate Wiggins, cornerback out of Clemson. The Giants have so many holes to fill because they're such a bad team. But cornerback is one of the biggest. Nate Wiggins is very successful in both zone and man. He doesn't shy away from bigger receivers, even though he's a smaller dude. The Vikings, for Alex, they pick Troy Fontana. Yeah, out of Washington. 22, Tyler.
Yeah, the Philadelphia Eagles, 22. Same story, different year. They need secondary help. So they're going to go Nate Wiggins here. The cornerback at Clemson, as James, you just mentioned, a great secondary boost there. Eagles always need it, so that's what they're going to do.
Trade.
Same shit, different year. Eagles need a secondary help, and they're going to pick up Ennis Rakestraw out of Missouri instead of whoever Tyler picked, because I'm right and he's wrong.
And you know what? Alex agrees with you, so that's good. But for me, same shit, different year. Cornerback, but I got Quinion Mitchell out of Toledo. Eagles, cornerbacks are horrible. Even they have big names. They were just bad, giving up like 35 touchdowns through the air. Mitchell played at a small school, but he was a lockdown corner. And his strong play at the Senior Bowl eased any like regrets on how good he is. So that's that. That's picks 22 through 32 with a couple of trades in there. Hope you guys enjoyed it.
Thank you very much, James. For a second, I forgot I hosted. And I was like, Tyler's going to pick this up, right? I apologize for that. Look, we really appreciate you guys every single week. We're very sorry that we've been shorthanded lately. Life's been tough for a few of us right now. Not tough. We're just busy.
Busy. You
know? We have lives outside of the podcast, even though we love this every single week, giving you guys this. And we're hoping you guys enjoy it. We're hopefully to be back full strength next week. We're going to need it. We're going to need to get back to all four of us, because it's just a vibe when all four of us together. Want to thank you guys. Please enjoy the baseball this week. If you're going to some Angels games, and or are the Dodgers home, Tyler?
Not after tonight. They're on the road
tonight. So, I mean, if you're going to watch Dodgers games, hopefully you enjoy it. Or if you're, you know, for all you fans out there, go to some baseball games this weekend. It's going to be nice, hopefully, where you are. I guess I can't speak for everybody. We hope you guys have fun. We hope you guys all enjoy all the sports. And remember to pay it forward. We'll see you next week.